Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Father, we just bow before you today, and we let you know one more time that you are worthy. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our celebration. You're worthy of our surrender. You're worthy of our lives. And so today we commit this time to you. God, you have no rival. You have no equal. And God, today we proclaim that of whatever's going on in our lives, that we can just trust you, that we can hold on to you, that we can make sure that no matter what the journey in front of us looks like, that we know without a doubt that you are truth, that you are hope, that you are our grace, you are our mercy. You have no rival. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to come into this place and give back and honor and worship you. And together, we bring you praise, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, let's give God a big round of applause. Thank our team for worshiping so well today. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Wow, what a wonderful, wonderful time of worship together today. You know, I was sitting there and I was just thinking, I hope for some of you that have been in church for a really long time, I hope that that time never gets old to you. Because, you know, you come into church for, you know, 60 to 75 minutes, depending on how long the pastor preaches. But that is a time for you to truly take a little bit of time out of your week to just give God glory and to give God your praise. And I hope that that never gets old, right? We've got a door in our house that I went ahead in our bed, on our bedroom, that I went ahead and put it on the hinges before I painted it. And every day I walk by there and I think, I'm going to paint that someday. And then there's a lot of times when I even forget about it, right? Because I see it so much every day and I just forget that, well, hey, one day I got to paint that thing. And I don't want worship to ever become that. I don't want worship ever to become, oh, it's just something we do at church on Sundays. This is an opportunity for you to tell God you love him, to worship him. And so I just love that time together. I love it so much. And, you know, sometimes I wish that I would just shut up and do that more. All right. I'm glad I didn't get any amens on that. But, well, welcome. I hope that you've had a great week, and I'm so excited about this new series we're going to start out today. There's just some amazing, amazing truths in God's Word that he showed me this week, and over the last couple weeks I've been preparing for this. But if you're new with us, thank you for being here. My name's Bobby, and I have the opportunity and privilege to serve as one of the pastors here, and we got a lot going on. There's always stuff going on here at our church. We've got a mission trip coming up. We got Easter coming up. 3 weeks. In 3 weeks, it's Easter Sunday. Did you guys know there's a statistic that says 8 out of 10 people will come to church on Easter if a neighbor invites them? All right, so any strategy that we have as a church, you know, we can post it on social media and we can do mailers and we can put stuff on your cars and all that stuff. But guess what works the best? You inviting someone. So let me encourage you to invite someone to Easter. We're going to have one big family service on that day, 10 o'clock Easter Sunday. It's going to be an awesome, awesome time. But that's going on. We got so much going on. If you need some more information, you want to get involved in anything that we have going on, when you come in over here, there's some tables. We got our student table set up. We got our ping pong table set up. I don't know what that is. I just saw that it's ping pong. Maybe you want to play ping pong on it. Do we have a ping pong team now? Is that what it is? Oh, serve. I see what you did. I see what you guys did. That's pretty and clever. I like that. That's ChatGPT. I do want to thank you guys for being here today. You guys don't know what it means to me as a pastor of this church for you to make church a priority. It means the world to me when I see your faces, and sometimes I get to see you standing here, but I may not get to speak to you because you leave to go get lunch really quickly. But I'm just so thankful. I really am. And, you know, coming to church is a choice. And there's times in our lives stuff happens, right? Your kid wakes up sick or something happens, you're out of town. I get it. But coming to church is a choice. And I just want to thank you guys for making the choice to come and be a part of God's bride, of God's family. So I appreciate it very much. As we start our new series today, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. This series is called In the Shadow. Oh, by the way, happy birthday, Hayne. Happy birthday, buddy. 16 years old today. Yes, sir. He looks like he's 25, but I promise he's 16. All right? Happy birthday, bud. Luke chapter 22. What we're going to look at over the next 3 weeks, in the shadows, this is Jesus's final week on earth. And during his final week on earth, Jesus prays three different prayers. And for the next 3 weeks, concluding today, we're going to look at these three different prayers that Jesus prayed during the darkest week of his life. This week was filled with pressure. This week was filled with betrayal. This week was filled with suffering. This week was filled with darkness in his life. Yet in the shadows of the cross, Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. Now, I want to preface this entire series, and I want to be a little bit vulnerable. I want to be a little bit authentic with you guys, all right? I'm preaching this series as not as a professional. I'm not a professional prayer. I just made that word up, all right? I'm not a professional prayer expert. I am personally on a journey just like you. Think of it, I'm a pilgrim on a quest. I'm trying to learn how to pray better. And just like many of you, I have had questions and still have questions about prayer. I wonder how many of you have ever had the question, God, are you even there? God, are you listening? Do you even care what's going on in my life? Or wait a minute, if God already knows so much, then why do I even have to pray? Like, I wonder if you've ever asked any questions like this. Like, why does sometimes when I pray, God feels really close, and then other times when I pray, I don't feel him at all? And maybe you've had some of those questions. I'm by no means a prayer expert, but I think the qualifications for me to preach and teach on prayer is that I genuinely want to learn myself. I genuinely want to connect with God better myself. I'm on a journey to enhance my prayer life, and I just thought, hey, why not bring the church along with me and try to enhance and help yours? So Luke chapter 22 is where we're going to be. Let me give you a little bit of context because there's a lot going on right here. At the beginning of Luke chapter 1 is where Jesus's final public teaching is happening. Okay, he's been living on earth, he's been walking, he's been traveling, he's been doing his ministry, but in Luke chapter 21, we kind of see the final days of his public teaching, and he's warning everybody of the destruction that is coming to the temple, okay? He's warning everybody that there's going to be future persecution. For anybody that follows him, there's going to be persecution. Ultimately, chapter 21 ends with Jesus teaching daily in the temple and the religious leaders trying to figure out how to capture him. The religious leaders were trying to figure out how to betray Jesus. And so the tension here begins to have a breaking point in Luke chapter number 22. The Passover is approaching. The leaders are actively plotting how to kill Jesus. Satan enters into Judas, and he is now convinced that he's going to go betray Jesus. And so let me take a little side note here. During Easter, over the next few Sundays, you're going to hear a lot about the Passover. And so I don't want to assume everybody in here knows exactly what the Passover is. So the Passover was a Jewish celebration remembering when God delivered the Israelites from Egypt. The Israelites were God's chosen people. They were in slavery in Egypt, and he brought them out of the slavery. And then in Exodus chapter number 12, each family, what they would do is they would sacrifice a lamb. They would take the blood of the lamb. They would put the blood on the front of their house so that the death angel, when it came, it would see the blood on their house, and it would pass over their home. And so that meant that no sacrifice had to take place. They didn't have to spare their firstborn. They were passed over by the death angel. And so every year the Passover would happen. At the end of the Passover, the Jews would come together and they would celebrate with a meal. And they would celebrate the Passover, and they would do that to remember how God rescued them, how God rescued their ancestors and their people. And so that's what the Passover is. Now, and go back to Luke chapter 22. Jesus, he gathers his disciples together here in Luke chapter 22, and they are having their Passover meal together. And this is where, this is so cool. This is where Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. Okay, he takes the Passover meal and he explains to them that from now on, the Passover meal is the blood that Jesus is getting ready to shed. That is the drink, that is the juice. And his body is the bread. And so now the Passover meal then begins to point towards Jesus instead of the sacrifice of the lamb, which he was the sacrifice there. All right, so that kind of gets us up to Luke chapter 22, where we're going to learn today. So let me ask you to stand with me and honor the reading of God's word. Luke chapter number 22, we'll begin reading in verse 39. We're only going to read a few verses. If you didn't bring your Bible, two things. Number one, we're judging you. Number two, it's here on the screen. All right, I'm just kidding. We're not judging you. Not on the outside anyway. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. Look what God's word says. It says, he went out and he made his way as usual to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. Verse 40. When he reached the place, he told them, pray so that you won't fall into temptation. Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw. He knelt down and he began to pray. Now here's Jesus' first prayer that we're going to talk about. Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Father, I just ask you right now in the precious, beautiful, powerful name of Jesus that you would speak to us. Lord, show us what you want for us, every one of us in here on an individual journey. And I pray, God, that you would use your word to light us up, to fire us up, to help us to grow closer to you, to help us in our walk with you. And Lord, use this time for the next few minutes to challenge us and to change us. It's in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Jesus knows that the cross is only hours away. It's almost time. And the weight of the world's sin is approaching his life. Now, I want you to take some notice of Jesus' words and Jesus' actions. So let's start in verse 39 here. It says, he went out and he made his way. Now, look at these next two words. As usual, to the Mount of Olives. If you're a highlighter or underliner, underline that phrase, as usual. Because this is number one. The first thing I want to pull out today is Jesus went to his usual place. Jesus went to his usual place. This is really simple, but man, this is really powerful. Jesus went as usual to the Mount of Olives. Now, why does this matter? Why is this such a big deal? What does this show us today? And here's what I think, that when the cross, or when the pressure hit, the cross was coming, it was hours away. When the weight of the world was on Jesus, what did he do? He went to the place that he always went. This was Jesus's healthy place. He went there because this was the place that he knew he could connect with God. It's where he prayed. It's where he talked with the Father. It's where he wrestled honestly with God. And so here's the question for you. I love questions. I love being practical. I love simple. I'm a simple person, all right? Where do you go when life gets heavy? Ask yourself this question. Where do I go when my life gets heavy? Some of you go to some really, really healthy places. We all have somewhere we run to. Whether we want to admit it tonight or not, we all have places we run to. Some of you go to your prayer closet. Some of you open your Bible and you just, man, you got to get in with Jesus, right? Some of you go out for a walk where you can just talk with the Lord. You can just spend time out in nature with the Lord. Some of you maybe go and you call a trusted friend and you know they're going to give you good, godly, sound wisdom and biblical advice. Some of you get alone and you crank the radio up and you praise God and you tears and you're just snotting and that's your time with the Lord, right? That's your as usual healthy place. Those places bring life. But let's be honest. Some of us, when life gets tough, when life gets heavy, we go to some unhealthy places. We run to a bottle. We run to a prescription. We run to an inappropriate relationship. We run to pornography. We run to shopping. We run to endless scrolling. We run to anger. All of those places, and many more that I didn't mention, all of those places promise us relief, but they make us leave feeling more empty than when we started. And I think it's so powerful that the Bible uses those two little words. Jesus went up to the Mount of Olives as usual. This was his healthy place. This was his place that he sought, a place where Jesus consistently met with the Father. And then when the crisis came, guess what? He went to his normal place. He already knew where to go because that's where he had always went. And the truth is this today, church, the place you practice going in the calm will be the place you run to in the storm. The place that I run to when life is good and everything's great and I'm just, it's as usual, that's going to be the place that I run to in the storm. Now, I want to draw something out. This has nothing to do with prayer, but I think this is so, so important. All right, it's a little bit separate from the topic that we're going to take a quick detour, okay? It says Jesus went to his normal place, right? But I want you to see what it says right after that. Look what it says. Jesus went to his normal place. He went out, made his way as usual to the Mount of Olives. And then look what it says. And the disciples followed him. And so my normal, calm, usual place is a bigger deal than just me going. The place that Jesus went was the same place the disciples went. And so this begs the question, and it just jumped off the pages to me this week. Who am I leading to healthy places? Who is following me to the healthy places that I need to go in my life? As a follower of Jesus, again, this is separate. We'll get off the detour in a second. But I think this is really, really, really big deal. As a follower of Christ, someone who has been changed, I've been saved, is the church word we use. I've been, my life is now his. I've surrendered. Our job is now not to just receive, 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 receive. Our job is to lead other people to Jesus. It's not optional. It's not a suggestion. It is a command from God. And a lot of times, listen, church, if you find your relationship with God stagnant, if you find your relationship with the church just stale, I would check here first. Check right here in your life. Am I leading anybody else to healthy places? Is there anybody following me as I follow Jesus? And if your life is stale, if your relationship with the Lord isn't where you want it to be, check that spot first. Because that is something that God has told all of us to do. Start with the people in your house. Start with the people in your home. But then let me take it a step further. Don't stop with the people in your home, all right? Because there's a lot of people in a lot of homes that don't have somebody that's willing to lead them. And so if we all just lead the people in our home, guess what? There's a lot of people left out in the cold. And we, the church, need to understand that we don't just look out for ourselves, all right? Detour's over, back to prayer, all right? Jesus, he ran to his usual place. When he got there, he didn't clean up his emotions. He didn't filter his words. This is number two. Jesus was honest with the Father. Jesus was completely honest with the Father. Look what he says. He opens his heart. And he says, Father, if you're willing, will you take this cup away from me? I mean, just think about that for a second. That's not a churchy prayer. That is an honest, I don't know how much more honest can you be. Jesus is saying, Father, I know you have a plan, but if there's any other way, I would really like that. If there's anything else you can do, if you're willing, God, I don't want to have to go through that. I need you to understand, God, that like, man, if you're willing, I would really like a different way. Philip Yancey has a wonderful book on prayer, and he says this, prayer gives us a place to bring our doubts, our complaints, and even our ignorance before God. In other words, listen, I hope this frees somebody up. In other words, prayer is the place where we can stop pretending. We come in on Sundays and we put our mask on, right? We come in on Sundays and act like everything's great when it really isn't, and we pretend, but prayer is that place. We think that prayer has to be the place where I say all the right words and I'm super formal and I make sure I do it right and I don't want to mess this up. But Jesus shows us that prayer is the place where we bring our honest, true heart to the Lord. And so all of those places, listen to me today, church, all of those places that in your life that are unspeakable, the places of shame, the places of fear, the places of regret, the places of confusion, all that we seal it off from everybody else, right? We don't tell anybody else about it. But prayer is exactly the place where all those things can come out. And here's Jesus giving God the honest, real Jesus. He doesn't hide his anguish. He doesn't pretend to be fearless. He doesn't put on a spiritual mask. He doesn't speak in some other tone and, oh, how fathereth I loveth thee and you're the bestest. Like he just tells him, he's real. He says, man, I really don't want to go through this. If you're willing, would you take this cup away from me? Think about it in just a normal relationship. We all have people in our lives that maybe we consider friends, maybe not friends, but maybe acquaintances, right? And you have a conversation with somebody and you're like, oh, well, you know, how's your sports team or how's the weather or, you know, how's the shopping or whatever you girls talk about. Well, like, I don't know what y'all talk about, but you have people in your life in movies. There you go. Y'all talk about movies. How's it great? But once you get past those initial questions, you're like, well, all right, see you later. You know, it's like we have acquaintances and in those things, in those types of relationship, what's the result? The relationship really doesn't go anywhere. We're friends and we're cordial and we'll talk about my team beat your team. But on the other hand, think about the relationships in your life that are deep. Think about the relationships in your life that mean something. How did they get there? How do they mean something in your life? Most likely, it's because you opened up and shared something with them that was very personal. Or you walked with them through something very personal in their life. You tell somebody a secret about your life, man, you guys are connected, right? That's exactly what Jesus is doing. And that's exactly our relationship with the Lord. I mean, we can pretend and say all this proper language to the Lord, and we can go to church and we can raise our hands and worship and we can even go through all of those things. But it's never gonna break through the intimacy barrier with the Lord. Until I'm truthful, until I'm honest, until I'm willing to give my whole real self to the Lord. C.S. Lewis said it like this: we must lay before him what is in us, not what ought to be in us. Man, think about that, church. When's the last time you just straight up laid before God? God, I'm angry. God, I'm upset. God, I'm fearful. God, I don't know why this is happening. God, and when is the last time you were just completely, no holds barred, just giving Jesus everything you got? Now, watch this. We got to be careful, okay? We got to be careful because here's what I think we can really struggle. Honest prayer does not mean rebellious prayer. All right? Let me help you understand that. Jesus is honest. He's saying, God, if you're willing, but Jesus is still surrendered. Jesus is honest, but Jesus is still surrendered. And that's what real prayer looks like. Real prayer says, God, this hurts. God, I don't understand it. God, I'm a little bit mad at you. God, I don't know why this is happening in my life. But God, I'm afraid of what's ahead, but I trust you anyway. I trust you anyway. That's the real prayer. God does not want your polished prayers. He wants your honest prayers. He's not looking for you to be a professional prayer expert. He's looking for the real you. So Jesus goes to his usual place. He's honest with God. And then look at verse 42. He says this: Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. And then here's the second part. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. Number three, Jesus submitted to the Father's will. He was honest, but listen to this. He was honest, but he was willing to hear an answer he did not pray for. Let me say that again. Jesus was honest, but he was also willing to hear an answer that was not what he prayed for. He surrendered, he submitted to the will of God. And guess what, church? The Father did not remove the cup from him. The cross was still coming. He still had to go through it. But Jesus chose obedience over relief. Jesus chose obedience over relief. And that is the turning point for all of us. When I choose Jesus and obedience over relief for whatever it is that I'm walking through, that's the turning point that God is looking for in your life and in mine. That's when I know I am surrendered, I am submitted to your will. Not my will, God, but your will be done. Sometimes we want God to change our circumstances, but God's really trying to change our character, right? Sometimes we pray for an escape, but God's calling us, hey, I want you to be obedient. Now, I've given you a lot today, but as I was praying, just a quick insight. I usually spend the entire day on Wednesday writing my sermons, okay? And I break for lunch sometimes, and then I'll just continue writing. And then on Friday morning, I will get up, and I'll tighten everything up. I'll finalize everything. Then I'll send it off to all of our teams that need it. And on Friday morning, I got up, and I was probably 90% done with my sermon this week. And I was sitting there, and I was reading over it, and I was praying and just listening to the Lord. And not in a voice, okay, not in a weird way, but God gave me this question on Friday morning. And I hadn't been able to stop thinking about it, and I wanted to share it with you because this is the heart. This is the heart of my message, okay? This is, if you've missed everything else, get this. And here's the question that God gave me for you this week. All right, we're going to put it up here on the screen. Is my commitment to the Lord based on what he's going to do for me or what he's already done for me on the cross? Man, I want you to sit with that for a minute. I want you to write this out or take a picture and just pray on this question this week as you go about your life. Is my commitment to the Lord, is my obedience to the Lord, is it based on what he's going to give me today, tomorrow, the next day? Or is my commitment to the Lord, is my being a part of the family of God, is it based on what he's already done for me? Because here's the truth, church. A lot of people follow God in their lives as long as life works out. As long as everything keeps going well. As long as that prayer is answered. As long as those doors keep getting open. As long as my situation keeps improving. But look what Jesus did. Jesus followed the Father when the path led to a cross. That's where his path was headed. And he said, I'm still in. I'm all in. It's not what I want. If you're willing, I don't want to do it. But not my will. Your will be done. So our obedience cannot be based on future outcomes. Our obedience should be based on the finished sacrifice of Jesus. One of the most beautiful, hopeful verses in all the Bible, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you were a sinner, not when you got all cleaned up, not when you went to church and put your mask on, while you were still a filthy, dirty, rotten sinner, Jesus said, I'll take their sin. What a hopeful verse. What an unbelievable verse for you and I. So if God never did another thing for you and I, guess what, church? The cross is already enough. It's already enough. Yes, I want my loved ones not to be sick. And yes, I want good things to happen for my family. And yes, I want my children to be blessed for years after I'm gone. Yes, I want our church to grow. And yes, but guess what? If God never does another thing, never answers another prayer for Bobby, the cross is already enough. Because of that, you and I should be able to trust him no matter what comes our way. No matter what comes our way. See, church, I think there's a misunderstanding today about prayer. The main purpose of prayer is not to make your life easier. The main purpose of prayer is not to gain some magical power from God. The main purpose of prayer is for you and I to know God better. I need to know God better than anything I can get from God. Prayer is not about controlling God. Prayer is about surrendering to him. And as we're going to see over the next few weeks, there's a victory that we're going to see on the cross. But guess what? The victory that we see on the cross, it started with a prayer in the garden. It started with a real, honest, this is my place, this is where I go. It started with Jesus saying, God, if you're willing to take this cup from me, I would love that. But it's not my will. Your will be done. So this week and over the next couple weeks, I'm going to give you a prayer challenge at the end of each Sunday. And this week, I want to offer a challenge to our church, and I'm calling this a prayer of surrender, a prayer of surrender. And I'm going to ask you every morning for the next 7 days, every morning before you check your phone, before the emails get rolling, before the news gets turned on, before the chaos of the day, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer of surrender. It goes right here. It's very short. Father, I trust you with my life today. Not my will, but yours be done. Lead my decisions, my words, and my steps. And then end with this question. God, what area of my life do I need to surrender today? What area of my life do I need to surrender today? Pray that prayer of surrender every day for the next 7 days. Make a commitment to do that. And I believe that'll help each and every one of us get to this place that we're able to boldly, truthfully, honestly proclaim, not my will, but yours be done. Even when I don't see it, even when I don't feel it, even when I don't understand it, what I love about Jesus is the example that he gives us. And yeah, we're never going to be perfect. We're never going to live up to that. Like it's Jesus, right? He's perfect. But before Jesus ever carried the cross, he carried everything to the Father in prayer. That's something that you and I can do. That's something that you and I can mimic. And if we want to walk with Jesus, if we want to enhance our relationship with the Lord, then we must learn to do the same thing. Even in the shadows of the things we're going through in life. Before Jesus carried the cross, he carried everything to the Father in prayer. And I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes today. I don't know what you're walking through, but I know for sure because I get the calls every single week of my life. I get the text messages, I get the emails, a lot of heaviness, a lot of tough things, relationship struggles, job struggles, addiction struggles, marriage struggles, kid struggles. We all have them, we all walk through them. Maybe right now in your life, you are in the shadow of something deep and dark and hurtful and struggle. Maybe you're right in the midst of it, and God's speaking to you today. Pray like Jesus prayed. God, this isn't what I want to be walking through, but not my will, yours be done. This isn't the way I would have drawn it up. This isn't the way that I would have made the game plan, but not my will, yours be done. And maybe, just maybe, the Lord's looking for surrender from you today. Would you stop trying to fix it and just surrender? Would you stop trying to figure it out and just surrender? Right now, all over this room, I want to just encourage you to be what Jesus, and be honest with the Lord. Sitting here right now in this moment, God, I'm angry. God, I'm hurting. God, I'm struggling. Would you be honest with him? God, I got this guilt and I've been hiding it. I got this secret and I got to get it out. Prayer is the place for us to be real. God will meet you there. I love what Lily said. Maybe you don't know what to pray and you just need to pray Jesus. Just pray the name, the blood of Jesus over your life and over your situation. And allow his mighty name, his beautiful, wonderful, perfect, matchless name to take over. Father in heaven, we love you and we're so grateful that you sent your one and only son to die for us. And I pray that if there's somebody here that has not truly accepted that, that has not truly given their life over to you, God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would send conviction and that they would make a choice to give their lives to you today. God, would you help each and every one of us be totally all in, surrendered, just like Jesus. God, if you're willing, but I surrender. God, I don't want to have to... but your will, not mine. God, may we be a follower. May we be a family. May we be a church that says we trust God even when we don't see it, even when we don't understand it. We're surrendered. Challenge us this week, God. Put it on our heart to pray that prayer of surrender, each and every one of us. That we surrender our business. We surrender our marriage. We surrender our children. God, we surrender our finances. We surrender. We give up. We've tried it our way long enough, and we're going to try yours. We surrender our selfishness. We surrender our calendars. We surrender what we think we need for our children, what we think we need for them to be doing. God, help us to be sold out for you, just like Jesus was. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this time, this week before Jesus goes and we see the greatest day in the history of the world. We're still learning from him in the shadows, in the darkest, most hurtful time of his life. We're still learning. So Jesus, we give it to you. We know you can handle it. You have no rival. You have no equal. You can handle each and every one of us no matter what we're walking through. Nothing's too big for you, God. Thank you for your word. It's in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. As always, let me just remind you, if you need somebody to talk to after the service, somebody to pray with you, somebody to listen, whatever it is, our prayer team's here, our pastors are here. Come grab me. Come grab one of our team. Shira's up here, my wife, if you need to talk to a lady. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. Maybe God's speaking to your heart about something totally different, right? Maybe the Lord's asking you to surrender and give your life to Jesus for the first time. You need to do that. Take that step today. Don't walk out of this building not taking whatever step God's telling you to do. Maybe God spoke to you today about surrendering your time and you're like, you know what? God's been telling me I need to serve somewhere and it's time. I've been a little selfish. It's time. Maybe God's telling you it's time to start giving. Yeah, we've been selfish with our finances, and it's been a mess, and it's been, and God's just stirring on your heart. Hey, it's time to step up. It's time to step up. Whatever it is, that's why we're here. The table's over here. You can get information. Come grab one of us by the hands. Don't leave here with God speaking to you about something. That's one of my biggest, not fears, it's just I want to make sure that you feel welcome to be able to have that conversation. I don't want you to walk out of here knowing that God's speaking to your heart and not taking that step. It's literally why we exist, is to help shepherd you through some of the hardest and best times of your life. So we're here no matter what it is. I do want to make mention of one thing, and then Brian's going to come give us a couple of announcements and we'll be done. A couple weeks ago, we had our very first, what we're calling the prayer room. And it's just 1 hour time frame for us to pray together. And our team, it was a phenomenal time. I think we had 25, 30 people show up. It was a great morning of prayer. And so we're going to start doing that monthly. And this month coming up on Good Friday, the Friday before Easter, we're going to have our next prayer room. Okay, and it's not a service. There's some elements we worship, but it's a time for you to just pray. It's a time for you to get alone with the Lord. And so I want to invite you right now to go ahead, put it on your calendar. We'll give you more info of times and all of that stuff. But on Good Friday, we're going to have our next prayer room. I want to invite you to come be a part of that. All right, Brian, come on up and give us a couple of announcements. Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.